invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 19. I'll be reading the whole passage. As you're turning there, I'll just remind us all that the Lord has things to say to us, does he not? The many great truths of our faith in Christ is a reality that the Lord communicates his love, his will to us. And I love the quote that Stephen chose for us this morning in the opening flap of your order of worship. God uses trees and flowers and clouds and stars to speak, this quote from Luther. With that in mind, hear these words now from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. There is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray and ask his blessing upon his preached word again this week. Father, we do thank you for the reality that in your grace and kindness to us, it is your desire to speak to us, to communicate to us. Lord, you have been doing this for all time. Thank you for your word this morning. May we see more of the great love that you have for us in Christ. Father, this morning I do pray particularly for those who are in need of your mercy and of your grace. We pray for the Kirkendall family, the Sox family, as they lost their father this past week. We pray for the Whitworths as Tyann lost her mother. Father, as these families grieve and mourn, would you be ever kind and near to them as you promise you will be. Father, be with us all, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. In 1977, the musical Annie first premiered on Broadway. You remember Annie, as in Little Orphan Annie, the little girl adopted by Daddy Warbucks? If you remember the story of Little Orphan Annie, you remember she did not have an easy life. Not at all. She had to fight for joy. She had to fight for happiness. She had to fight for optimism. She had to fight for courage and hope. One of the most memorable themes which emerged from that Broadway production was the song Tomorrow. I will not sing that for you. You know, maybe I would. No, I will not sing that for you this morning. But maybe you will remember the lyrics of this famous song. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there will be sun. Oh, you got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you're always a day away, the sun will come up tomorrow. So tomorrow, according to Little Orphan Annie, whatever hope exists for tomorrow was based upon one thing, and that one thing is that the sun is going to come up tomorrow. That is, if the sun comes up, everything else in life is going to be okay. Our passage this morning reveals that Annie was onto something as she sang those words. In fact, there are a lot of reasons to build your life on the hope of God based upon the reality the sun is going to come up tomorrow. I wonder this morning if you might need a little bit of that optimism in your life, that only the sunrise and the sunset can provide along with the gospel of Christ. The question before us this morning, what is the connection between the sun setting this evening and coming up tomorrow morning and our faith in Christ together? Have you ever thought about it? What we're going to see this morning is that God's creation is a major way in which he demonstrates his communication to us and why we truly can have great, strong hope in him. All right, look back at Psalm 19. Let me say a few words about this particular psalm and why I've chosen it for this week and next week. First, by way of announcement, this fall semester, beginning 2 weeks from today, we are going to go through the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings for our fall preaching series. I will hopefully finish up by Advent. Revelation, this great mystery book of the Bible, if you will. But yet the word revelation is not that mysterious at all. It simply means to reveal, to have your eyes open to see things which you previously did not see. Now, what does that have to do with Psalm 19? If you notice, as I read this passage, there are two dominant aspects to the psalm. Verses 1 through 6 are all about God's creation. Verses 7 through 14 are all about God's word. Theologians call these general revelation and special revelation. General refers to the creation. It's obvious to everybody. Special revelation is the word of God, obvious only to those who the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to see. C.S. Lewis called Psalm 19 the greatest poem in the Psalms and one of the greatest lyrics in all the world. Why would C.S. Lewis say something like that about this particular psalm? What is so special about this combination of creation and the word? And I think the answer is obvious. God has things to say. God wants us to know him, his ways, his love, his care, his promises. Ever since the Garden of Eden, God has been revealing himself to us. He is continually revealing his nature and his character in order for us to build our lives, regardless of what's taking place, upon these promises. So as we spend the next 2 weeks getting ready for the book of Revelation by considering God's revelation to us, first by creation and then next week with Scripture. All right, so this morning, what does God want us to hear from creation itself? Let's see three things together quickly this morning. First, God communicates his power through creation. Secondly, God communicates his provision through creation. And lastly, God communicates our problem through creation. And my hope, my prayer, my proposition for this week and last week too is that may God's beautiful creation encourage our hearts to have strong faith in him today. All right, first, let's consider his power. Look at verse 1, this great and famous verse. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Notice part of God's communication with us is nonverbal. We'll return to that in a moment, but just recognize this morning that this great declaration of the power of God comes from the heavens, not with words, but with sight. The sight of the outrageous ability of the incomparable work of creation. The heavens, as King David wrote these words, refer to those things which happen in the sky, which we have to look up to see. So primarily, we're not talking just about creation here, but we're looking upward. The stars, the sun, the moon, what you see when you look up, like the moon the past 2 nights. I don't know if anyone has noticed, it has been incredible. Those things which we take for granted that surround us all day, every day, yet they communicate something to us. What do these heavenly beings actually reveal? What is the sun's predictability showing us? What is the moon and the light? What is the message there? Verse 1, again, the heavens declare God's glory. That's the word. That's the key principle. The glory of God. What is the glory of God? It is the truth of who he is. Romans chapter 1 refers to God's glory as his eternal power, his divine nature seen in this power. How do we see these things, the stars in the sky? There is clearly, and no one in the world can deny this, there is a force which sets all of these things in place. It's unexplainable to mankind. The greatest of worldly scholars can never fully agree on the cause or the sustainability of the heavenly beings, yet they keep revealing the power of God. Over the years, Lisa and I have had the opportunity to be on vacation or something like that, where we see the sunset at a beach where the sun looks as if it drops into the water. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. We saw this at Lake Michigan a couple summers ago, and it's incredible. But here's the picture. If the weather is right, and it's a clear day, no haze, no clouds, anything like that, if you're facing the west as the sun goes down, as you look out over the water, it takes a minute or two for this to fully happen. As the sun goes down, it looks as if the water receives the sun. Now, of course it doesn't. It doesn't fall into the water. But the view itself is incredible. Like in verse 4, it's as if there's a tent for the sun. There the sun is, and then the sun is gone. Yet there's still a little bit of light. But here's what we've noticed on the occasions when we've seen this happen. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what's going on later that evening with whatever plans anyone has. It doesn't matter what's on TV. Doesn't matter what's taking place in the world at that particular moment. For those 2 minutes or so, as the sun methodically sets, right on time it disappears, you can't take your eyes off of it. Everyone's imagination at that moment, we're all completely fixated upon the sun dropping. You can't take your eyes off of it. Why? Because it cannot be duplicated by anything else in all the world. There's nothing which you can compare that sunset. There's nothing on our phones that can provide entertainment for our eyes like the sun at that moment. There's nothing else even close. God's glory revealed by the sky shows us his power. The sunset is beyond us. Think about in that moment as we're watching it go down. You know what? We can't stop it. We cannot speed it up. We cannot control if the moment that we're there, if there are clouds or not. We cannot pause it and have everyone come outside to come join us. No, it's going to do what it's going to do. We are completely limited to God's chosen way to reveal his power, his control. This time of year, the greatness and the power and the majesty of Kentucky football is right around the corner. You know, the first service laughed. Why is that funny to you? How does the University of Kentucky communicate to you the power that is before us this fall? There must be some chosen way to communicate it. How is it done? Well, for one, you have a media day where everyone is invited to come and to see the glory that is before you. You see, for anyone to have power, for anything to have power, there must be some mechanism by which that power is revealed. Look into the sky, and God shows his power. The moon at night, the stars in the sky, the sunrise, the sunset, God's word declares that they are his chosen ways to reveal. He's powerful. So as you fight for hope this morning in whatever trial you face, as you struggle to believe in whatever disappointment you're experiencing, as you persevere with family, with work, be reminded that God who raises the sun, who sets the sun right on time, is able to do all things. He talks to us, if you will, from creation. His power. But now notice verse 2, the second aspect of his revelation to us this morning from creation. Consider his provision. Again, look back at verse 2. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Again, I love this idea of general revelation. You need to know that our Reformed tradition as Presbyterians, scholars understand this to be, this is in fact God's chosen mechanism to reveal himself. This isn't just something we enjoy. This is a real message to us. Notice when it comes to God's declaration to us from the heavens, and let this affect your soul this morning, understanding God's intent. Notice there is no element, none at all, of discontinuity in his communication. Rather, it's just the opposite. God continually shows this power day after day, night after night. Do you see it? It never goes away. The heavens are always there. There is not a day which goes by in which there is not a moment that God is not showing to each of us his power and his control and his provision. You know, one of the interesting things about God's Word and studying God's Word, particularly in the Old Testament like we did with Habakkuk earlier this summer, was that in the Old Testament days, there would often be long periods of time, even hundreds of years, where there would not be a prophetic message. But that is not true with the heavenly beings. It's never like that with the stars. When we orient our lives around the truth that God speaks to us from creation, then truly, there's not a moment that goes by in which you can wonder if God loves me. Is he strong? Is he capable? But there's more about his provision than just that it happens continually. Notice the second phrase of verse 2. It's not just day after day and night after night, but also in the midst of that, he is pouring forth knowledge. Think about that. What knowledge do you really get by looking at the sky this afternoon? What are the clouds really going to tell you? What is the sunset really going to reveal about knowledge in which you don't have? I think it's very simple. What kind of knowledge can we get from looking at the clouds? What does the Lord reveal? I think it's simply this, that we must be humbled when we see the heavenly beings. Humility is the key. Seriously, how much do we really know about the sun? How much do we really know about the moon? Now, you're not surprised by this, but I'm not a scientist. But there are a few things that you can Google and learn about the sun. You may already know this. It didn't take me long to figure it out. But the sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. It's 27 million degrees. The sun is composed of hydrogen and helium. The sun's light takes about 8 minutes to get to the Earth. It's pretty neat that we know all of that. Seriously, King David would not have known any of that when he wrote this. But yet, are we not humbled by all that which we don't know? Seriously, and not even counting the stars or the planets or the galaxies, just the sun, which David clearly was intrigued by as he wrote this. Just pretend you were with David as he pondered the universe. Whoever is in charge of the sun, whoever is in control of the stars, has vast power way beyond anything I can ever have. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that he's greater. He's saying that he's wiser. He is saying to us that he is beyond what we can see and know. You see, we can depend upon him every single day because of all that he knows. This is a true story. 3 weeks ago, you may have seen this in the news, the World Meteorological Organization released a new informational study about a record-breaking lightning bolt that happened in 2017. Again, maybe you saw this on the news. The WMO confirmed that a massive lightning strike stretched for 515 miles. From East Texas to Missouri, the lightning bolt lasted 7 seconds. One bolt of lightning, 515 miles, 7 seconds, and they say the largest in the history of the world. You know what? I believe it. I'm impressed. I mean, it was that long, it was that fast, it was that incredible. However, I have no way of knowing if that has never happened in the history of the world before. Can you accept today the one who causes the lightning to strike is the one who knows every intimate detail of your life. The Son has never taken a day off. He knows you, He loves you, He cares for you. I shared this with a friend this past week, thinking about this passage. When anxiety fills my heart as I think about the future, when I try to imagine and plan what the next decade or so of my life will look like, I get nervous. There are just so many unknowns. The unknowns are incalculable. Who knows what will be true tomorrow? Yet if I look backwards over the past decade or so of life, and I can see truly God's handiwork on life and family and ministry and all things, I can see that the Lord knew what He was doing all along. You see, the point of this, that the Lord who provided a sunset 10 years ago is the same Lord who will provide sunrise tomorrow. He will provide. Your faith in Him can be strong because of the creation ordinances. Look at verse 5. We'll transition with this. I love this concept of the sun. God compares the sun rising each morning to a groom on his way to get married. And David says, with joy. That's what our God wants us to see. He's powerful. He's strong. He provides. But then lastly, let's consider the problem creation reveals. What need is revealed to us from creation? As I read through these verses, particularly verses 1 through 6, something's missing. Do you recognize it? There's a reason we must have the second half of Psalm 19. Again, the reason theologians refer to this creation as general. You see, these heavens, these stars, the sun, the moon, the sky, it gives a general message to every single person on earth. It is a common message, a message which goes to everyone at every place. There is not one single human being on earth exempt from this message. The glory of God is revealed. Thus, what is the response, the appropriate response to the sunset, to the northern lights, to the moon, to whatever? What is the response to the predictability of it all? Please hear this morning and see it's twofold. For you as a Christian, understand you really can be encouraged by the work of God's creation. But also, to understand the purpose of creation is to ensure that everybody on earth understands there's a God. In Romans chapter 1, His invisible attributes have clearly been perceived ever since creation in the things in which He has made. So they are without an excuse. Paul also says in Romans 1, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Do you see this morning that the beauty of all the places you went on vacation this summer, from the beaches to the mountains to the parks, do you see that this is part of God's means of evangelism? The skies, the glaciers, the rivers, the oceans, they all leave mankind everywhere with this one burning question. Who did all of this? Where did it come from? Who made this? Who created all of this beauty? How does it continue? This is beyond me. Who's in charge? See, God's general revelation opens the door to the reality that we all must deal with. Who did it? God's special revelation by His Spirit through His Word will reveal that Jesus, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer, He's the one who did it. By way of application this morning, I encourage you to go back and read all of Romans 1. It's haunting. It's haunting. For those who will not hear the voice of God through His creation and His Spirit, those who will not follow Him, those who will look at the beauty of the world and will not be humbled, what will happen with them? You see, they will then understand the reality that, yes, these things exist. So therefore, they will worship, they will honor, they will thank, they will serve, they will look to creation itself to be their God and not the Creator. You see, the mountains will not point them to Christ. The mountains will be their Christ. And when that happens, the whole world goes crazy. And it has. So if you're here this morning and you're exploring faith in Christ, please, even today, look up into the skies. See the beauty of the bluegrass. See the sun, see the stars, see the moon. See the predictability of it all. Understand the sun will rise exactly on time tomorrow. And know there is a God in heaven. And this God, this creator, has a message for us all to hear. He reveals himself by proclaiming that his son, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. His son, Jesus Christ, is the firstborn of all creation. His son, Jesus Christ, for by him all things were created in heaven and on the earth. All things were created through him and for him. And this man, Jesus, revealed his Father's love for you. For you, that in his power and in his provision, he went to a cross to be crucified so that your sins are removed forever. And friends, on that cross for 3 hours during the light of the day, the heavens went dark. And the heavens themselves declared, on that awful moment, the heavens declared that God loves you so much. His son died for you. That is the message. That is the message from heaven and his word. So that son reveals his power. That son reveals his provision. And we receive that ultimate son today. You see, this morning, we really can't say, the sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar, tomorrow there will be sun. And this all creation points us to the loving reality. We have a king, and he is Jesus, and his majesty is beautiful. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. I'll transition us to the Lord's Prayer, and Luke will prepare us to come around the Lord's table again this week. Lord Jesus, you are the author of all things. You are good. You are kind. You came for us, you died for us, and you have opened our eyes to the love of the Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have done all of this. Jesus, we praise you. You are indeed the King. Father, I pray for us all this morning as we fight for joy, as we fight for hope, as we fight for courage to live in a fallen world. Lord, I truly ask today that you would give us eyes to see the power of God over all things, the ongoing provision of God in all things, and the love of Jesus Christ. And now we pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.